Mike Monroney, 12 years in the House, spanned the end of the New Deal, World War II, the beginning of the Cold War, and the Korean conflict. Then he, in 1950, decided to challenge Oklahoma's four-term Senator Elmer Thomas. Do you have some recollection of Mike Monroney?
Yes, he was in the Senate when I was there and was defeated in 1968. We went there in 70. And at that time, Bob Kerr had died, and Teresa's father was Mike's administrative assistant, Carter Bradley. Monroney was another star and had all the attributes of a great politician. But he just, over years, lost touch with the changing opinions in Oklahoma. As late as his last campaign, he was on a big anti-gun kick. Oh, that hurt him. He had a lot of good connections in Washington and knew everybody who amounted to anything and was a very important part of the political and social scene there. But he had been there so long that there were people in small towns around who didn't know him and who had never met him, had never had a chance to shake his hand. And that is bad news. You got to work at this business if you want to keep one of those jobs.
He was a great public speaker, wasn't he?
Yes, he knew how to make a speech.
So here he's running in 68 against Henry Bellman, who was not a great public speaker. I'm sure there were many thought that Monroney's speaking ability was going to get him through when Henry was not a public speaker.
That's true. It had to do with the very fact that Henry Bellman in that campaign had probably shaken hands with more people and knew more people personally in influential places and small towns around than Monroney, even though he was a younger man and had not had all those years. But Mike Monroney, there was a time when he knew every small town banker and every publisher and every county commissioner in the state of Oklahoma and could probably call them by first names. That disappeared for him over the years.
But he was so strong in Washington. He was a strong supporter of Adlai Stevenson. Matter of fact, in 1960, he headed the effort to draft Stevenson for a third presidential nomination. But he was considered to be named to the ticket with Stevenson in 1952 to show how strong he was.
Right. Well, that 1960 convention, that's of interest to me because he was way out of tune with the Oklahoma Democratic Party and everybody at the convention at that time. He was way out of tune, but he had an advantage. Everybody in the delegation knew Mike Monroney personally, and they liked him. So they're going to cut him some slack. It didn't bother Bob Kerr or Raymond Gary that Mike Monroney's off on this wild goose chase, and that's what it was, to get Adlai back in business. That didn't make everybody mad. But over time, people who didn't know him, that kind of stuff hurt him, being independent. By the way, that was a highlight of the convention for me. Again, just as a name-dropping thing, but Alan Crumley, the Washington correspondent for the Oklahoman, and I went over to see Monroney at the headquarters hotel where he was staying. He met us in the lobby. We'd called in advance, and he said, "Boys, before we go upstairs to my place, I want you to come with me right now because I want you to meet Eleanor Roosevelt." So we got on the elevator and went up. Went to her room, knocked on the door, and went in there, and he introduced us to her, and she sat there and talked to us. We had a nice long video with her.
Do you remember what you talked about?
Not much of anything. As a matter of form, we asked her about the race, you know, how do you think this is going to go? Well, I don't know. She didn't have anything much to say about it. I think they all knew that it was just exercise and feel-good stuff and principle, you know. But it was something to see her and meet her. The point I'm making is that Monroney is a guy who knew her, and he'd call her and say, "I want to bring a couple of guys up here to see you." She'd say, "Well, give me a minute to get my hair fixed and bring them all up." That's the point to make about Mike.
When he came to the Senate, it was during the height of the McCarthy affair. As a matter of fact, he and McCarthy clashed in Senate debate. McCarthy was calling out everybody as a communist, and Monroney was the one who was confronting him about that. And then also Monroney voted for the Civil Rights Acts of 57, 60, and 64.
Yeah. I just admire him greatly for all of those things and the courageous things, whether you agree with him or not. But even in those instances, a lot of people in Oklahoma had to hold their noses to vote for him after those votes. But they would say, like Milt Phillips, my old boss, said, "Mike is just getting so liberal, I'm just getting a belly full of him. But of course we're going to have to support him because he's our good friend, so we cut him some slack." But people don't cut slack for a politician they don't know.
he had a likability that helped overcome all that.
Sure.
So it's interesting, he is defeated after 30 years of service to the state.
I interviewed him after his defeat, and he was getting ready to leave. I'd ask him if he thought he'd made a mistake with some of these liberal stands that he'd taken, especially in the campaign. He says, look, I've always done what I thought was right, and I'm looking back over it, and I'm just telling you, I wouldn't change a thing. That's the way he felt about it.